moving to Iran. The rhetoric between the White House and Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is heating up. The Obama administration today accusing Ahmadinejad of trying to blame the United States for the unrest that erupted onto the streets of Iran following its contested presidential election. We're going to, joining me right now is Riz Khan. He is host of the Riz Khan Show on Al Jazeera English, and we're going to talk to him about what we can expect to see in Iran this weekend. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Captain. Thank you.
Now, what we're hearing today is that the Guardian Council is coming out and saying that this was the fairest election ever held in Iran. We've been getting sort of backwards and forward signals. There was a thought at one point that there were going to be recounts. What's going on? How do you make sense of this?
It's a very tricky one for the Guardian Council to manage in Iran, because they've got obviously sort of what looks like a popular uprising on the streets. We've got to remember that 30 years ago there was a complete change in Iran because of what happened. And I think that it's become a spin game to a large degree. But one thing's interesting, I think that, you know, the pictures, a lot of people are complaining now, no one's showing the other side in the West, that, you know, Ahmadinejad also has supporters. So it's important to realize there is obviously division within Iran itself.
And there are analysts who say, in fact, he might have even won.
Exactly. So it's a difficult one to call. It seems strange, you know, just prior to the election, I was doing a show on Iran and looking ahead to what might happen during the election. And it just seemed with a you know, the high turnout, all the predictions that Mousavi had it in the bag seemed very likely. Then, of course, it was a big surprise to see the margin of victory. And I think that's what's shocked a lot of people, the margin of victory that Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has had.
So if we go to Iran today, things are very, very quiet. Today is a day of prayers. There have been several of them. What are we supposed to be looking for today?
I think it's going to be the rhetoric within the mosques, the way the people are being guided by those who are preaching the sermons. Because Friday is a time when people come together. The Friday prayer is pretty much the most important time when people gather in the Muslim world. And it's when, of course, the West, of course, accuses the radical mullahs and clerics of rallying people against the West and rallying people against things outside. But it's also a time when those who are more moderate and more willing to accept a different situation also rally those who support that idea. So I think it's really how the public will be guided by the people who speak in the mosques. But there's a potential for it to flare up if you know, things really do heat up with the rhetoric from the mullahs.
Yeah, and you talk about a potential for people to be guided. Of course, in the rest of the world, we're guided by whatever reporting gets out.
Right.
Talk about, obviously, the Iranian government has been critical of the BBC. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if they've also been critical of Al Jazeera English.
Al Jazeera,
they see you
as
another Western voice.
Al Jazeera is in an interesting position because, of course, you know, there's some division between Iran and large parts of the Arab world as well. And Al Jazeera has always been one of those channels that has stood there and been willing to point fingers, willing to be more sort of democratic in its approach. And it's offended many of the Arab governments as well. So, yeah, Al Jazeera is not always in the best position, largely because of trying to sort of take the straight path of truth and fact and factual reporting. So, yeah, it's not easy either way. But definitely the effort to control the media in Iran is one of the big stories here. And it's been shown how modern media is much harder to control. I think that's one of the big pictures that have come out.
How has Al Jazeera English covered the Twitter story?
Well, no, we have. I mean, ironically, we're, of course, a channel that uses new technology as well. So, you know, we've seen there was the talk about this being the first Twitter revolution, what's happening in Iran. But people are saying it's not really quite as big as that. There's a large portion of the country that doesn't have access to new media. So, again, people could say those who have access to Twitter and Facebook and so on are those who are more in the elite or the upper middle classes.
And getting back to everyone that the Iranian government is blaming, there is the BBC, mm-hmm. There's the Obama White House, but it's also other parts of the Mideast as well.
That's right. Well, as I say, the divisions that have existed between, if you like, the Persian world and the Arab world, that's often forgotten in the West. You know, a lot of Iranians get offended by being called Arab. The difference, of course, between the Shia and Sunni worlds, if you like, and Iran being the hub of the Shia world, which obviously puts it at odds with places like Saudi Arabia, where it's the strong Sunni and some say Wahhabism that really guides the Middle East.
Talk about, there are some analyses that are coming forward now that talk about how the Iranian government can sort of effectively muffle this protest movement that was building. If we were going to see that happening, I mean, there's talk of already one minority candidate has said, I'm going to do this through legal channels. How can we see this breaking down, if you will? It seems so impossible that a week ago we had people in the streets, there was going to be change, and now?
It's hard to tell, because there's actually quite a vibrant society in Iran where people are willing to discuss things, and I think people forget that too. It is actually quite a vibrant society. How much is expressed openly is the difficult part. And then of course there's the issue that the candidates were approved candidates in the first place, that, you know, the people who ran, as far as, you know, you might say someone so and so is moderate, they were still an approved candidate. So how much would change if Mir Hossein Mousavi was to come in? There's no guarantee that there's going to be any major change either way.
One thing that does seem to be uniting the world today, and that is the mourning of the death of Michael Jackson. Before we move on to headlines, quite briefly, how is Al Jazeera English covering this?
Well, it's funny because I had a whole bunch of calls yesterday. Originally, I know Yuri Geller, the paranormalist, pretty well, who was very close friends with Michael Jackson at one stage, and he was trying to arrange for me to do an interview with him. And I happened to go away. I was traveling overseas when a slot came up, and that ended up going to a former colleague of mine from the BBC, Martin Bashir. So it was quite funny, and the irony was that I actually had played drums at a Michael Jackson concert, only one track, and it was very bizarre, years ago, but no, I'm not that good a drummer.
Okay, Riz Khan, I want to thank you for joining us.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.